All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in here today or tonight, whenever you're joining us on redice.tv or our YouTube channel, BitChute, perhaps on redicemembers.com. Special thanks always to our members out there, of course, because you guys make this possible. We have a really important show here lined up for today. A lot of things actually go through. But we're going to try to be as concise as we possibly can. Huge topic, breaking news. As you guys know, Epstein has been the major story here now for a couple of days. And we have with us none other than Adam Green on the line. No more news here to kind of wade through, really, Adam, some of this material, because it's just a slew of stuff that's been coming out. And, of course, we kind of have to backtrack a little bit in the record as well and put this in context. But first of all, welcome once again, Adam, and thank you for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
As always, a pleasure having you here, Adam, and it's always good covering these topics with you as well. You're eloquent, you have a good way of summarizing things and a good overview when it comes to not only these kinds of topics, but a lot of other things that you cover, of course, on your YouTube channel and stuff like that. But obviously, Epstein, that's the huge breaking story, his arrest, and of course, consequently, he showed up in court today. We're recording this on Monday the 8th. And a number of things that's come out of this, and we'll talk about this a little bit later too, but what's happening right now is he's going to return to get a notice of bail on Thursday. And until that time, of course, a lot of people are going to wade through documents and all the kind of things that have been happening since that time. But what's your overview, kind of just opinion about the case? Have you been aware of this since back in, I remember covering this in 2005, 2006, 2007, something like that. Did you know about Epstein and some of his shenanigans?
I definitely didn't know about it back then in 2005, but in the last couple of years, I've been covering it, not super in depth, but I definitely been investigating it all day today, and the threads lead to a lot of the usual suspects.
Absolutely. Always the same. Very, very interesting. So a lot of stuff to wade through here, guys, and really... I think actually let's play a clip from the Miami Herald, because that's really the preeminent in this case, and it's a mainstream media news outlet, pretty much. It's a bit smaller, kind of local there in Florida, but they have enabled really a lot of this to come through, and some people have even attributed the fact that he is now has been arrested to some of the stories that the Miami Herald were continuing to release. And so, again, if there's anyone that have been kind of under a rock the last couple of days here or before that and don't know about the case, let's take a look at this clip here as it really summarizes the situation, what we're looking at, and then Adam and I will come back and really dive into this a whole lot more.
On June 30th, 2008, Jeffrey Epstein, a Palm Beach multimillionaire hedge fund manager, received what might have been the most lenient plea deal for a serial sex offender in U.S. history. The Miami Herald identified over 60 of his victims, just young middle and high school girls at the time of the abuse. More than a decade later, several of them are talking for the first time about how they were molested by Epstein and believe they were betrayed by the very prosecutors who were supposed to hold Epstein accountable.
They came from fairly disadvantaged backgrounds. There was some dysfunction in their families. The lure of a lot of money was more than they were able to resist.
I went from an abusive situation to being a runaway, to living in foster homes, to just already being hardened by life on the streets.
The other girls that I personally know of that were coming from trailer parks, that were having gun shootings, drugs.
My mother was on drugs at the time, and she couldn't provide for me, and I was pretty much homeless.
One child would be lured over, would be paid substantial sums of money, would be offered the further inducement of being paid a bounty for anybody else that she was able to bring to Epstein. A network developed where many young girls in the same kinds of circumstance wound up being victimized.
By the time I was 16, I brought in up to 75 girls, all the ages of, 14, 15, 16, people going from 8th grade to 9th grade at just school parties is where I'd recruit them from.
All Jeffrey cared about was go find me more girls. His appetite was insatiable. He couldn't stop. He wanted new, fresh, young faces every single day.
The sheer volume of girls, the frequency, sometimes several or many in the same day.
I remember there was a staircase, and it was like kind of like a spiral almost.
And she brings us up the stairs, and it was like spiral stairs.
You walked into his bedroom, around his bed, to almost like a very little hall, and then it was another door. And that's where everything would happen, was in his bathroom. He would have a dresser, and it was filled with, like, the first drawer was lotion, and then, like, the third drawer down was, like, sex toys. So we would take the massage table out and set it up in the middle of the room.
And then he came in with his white towel on around him.
And then he just laid down in his towel on his stomach, and he was just talking to people on the phone. When he flipped over, that's when he said, okay, you can go ahead and take off your shirt and pants, but you can stay in your underwear.
He would want us to stand next to him, and he would masturbate while he stared at us, touched us.
To pull his nipples and to play with them in between his fingers, and also while I was playing with his nipples, he kept doing that stuff to me. But he was very aggressive, like, when he would do it.
And then he tried to put his finger in my underwear, and I, like, jumped back, and I pulled back, and I was like, whoa. And he's like, no, it's okay, I'm sorry, I won't do that. And then he went back to doing that. He's like, just on the outside. And I'm like, oh my God.
It ended with sexual abuse and intercourse, and then a pat on the back. You've done a really good job. Like, you know, thank you very much, and here's $200. You know, before you know it, I'm being lent out to politicians and to academics and to people that you, royalty, and people that you just, you would never think, like, how did you get into that position of power in the first place if you're this disgusting, evil, decrepit person on the inside?
Epstein, then in his 50s, was also suspected of organizing sex activities with underage girls at his homes in New York City, New Mexico, and on his private island in the Caribbean.
You're talking about hundreds of children all over the world.
Victims that were alleged sex slaves of Jeffrey Epstein, that they brought over from Eastern Bloc countries.
I've seen hundreds and hundreds of girls go through Jeffrey's swinging door, his ever-revolving door.
This guy is big time. He knows people that know people that know people.
Flight logs from his plane and his address book read like a who's who of some of the richest and most famous and powerful people in the world. Celebrities, actors, philanthropists, academics, and world leaders.
It's really disappointing to look, as a lawyer, to look at this circumstance and say, how did this happen? One individual commits one abuse of a minor, and one instance of abuse of a minor, and they're held accountable for years and years through the criminal justice system. This individual abused hundreds of girls, and nothing happened. It's really, really unfortunate. We look at that and we say, how did the criminal justice system fail these girls in such a significant way? How has that happened?
There was ample physical evidence and witness testimony to support the girls' stories, including notepads seized from Epstein's home with their names and phone numbers, along with phone records. Despite the corroborating evidence, Palm Beach State Attorney Barry Krischer wanted to charge Epstein only with a misdemeanor.
And once that happened, it was clear to me that justice would not be served by the state attorney in the handling of the case, and we referred it to the FBI. And then there were many, many more victims after that time.
Epstein hired somebody that would impress the state attorney, Barry Krischer, to drop the investigation.
The U.S. Attorney's Office got involved with this case with Jeffrey Epstein's A list of defense attorneys that are extremely well known and extremely powerful. I think these attorneys were able to manipulate the sitting U.S. attorney and the assistant U.S. attorney working the cases. A few things happened in this case that during my law enforcement career I've never seen before. The U.S. attorneys here had an indictment and they were sending it back and forth to Jeffrey's lawyers for changes. Never seen anything like that before.
Well, I started getting somewhat of an inclination that this is a situation where somehow, for some reason, the defendant and the government are working together against the victims. Although that kind of conspiracy theory sounds so preposterous that I didn't want to believe it.
A subsequent FBI investigation found a sprawling network of victims and enough evidence to fill a 53-page indictment with federal sex crime charges. But Miami U.S. Attorney Alexander Acosta signed off on a secret plea bargain while deliberately not informing Epstein's victims. The deal granted Epstein and his accomplices immunity from federal prosecution. Epstein pleaded guilty in state court to two prostitution charges and served 13 months. Epstein's punishment was like that of no other sex offender in Florida. He had a private space in a vacant wing of the Palm Beach County Stockade, but records show he spent limited time there. He was allowed to go to his private West Palm Beach office, where he spent up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, often accepting visitors, including female friends.
What he ended up pleading to was a joke. The sentence he served was even a bigger joke. And then his probation was a slap in everybody's face.
The government, by that agreement, was definitely putting their name on something that they believed at that moment was ending the possibility of prosecution and ending the victim's rights. Right there, that's what the government believed.
How can you do that to all these girls? How can you tell them that what he did was okay?
Acosta, now President Trump's labor secretary, didn't explain why he sealed the details of Epstein's plea so that no one would know the scope of Epstein's crimes or who was involved. Years later, he said he and his staff were bombarded by Epstein's army of legal superstars who launched a year-long assault against him and other prosecutors that they took all the way to the U.S. Attorney General in Washington, D.C.
Really, if you think about it too hard, it's scary because this is our government that's supposed to protect us but has done everything to protect, you know, a pedophile.
He lists his residence as the U.S. Virgin Islands, but his flight records show that he takes trips around the United States and Europe in his new private plane.
This is probably the most unjust outcome of any case that I've been involved in.
There's so many of us that they just can't forget about it. It's not something that's going to be yesterday's news.
He needs to be behind bars. He needs to be behind bars for the rest of his life. There is way too many girls for him not to be. It's just mind-blowing.
All right, so there we go. That really kind of summarizes some of the issues and the problems with this case, and also shows us that it goes to the highest of levels within the U.S. government internationally. This case is on a completely different level when it comes to accountability and even the people involved and stuff like that. And this is almost, you know, for conspiracy theorists and stuff like that, this is almost, frankly, a dream case, because it validates so many of the things that we've talked about and heard over the years, that it's there's this elite network and they potentially, possibly, allegedly use sexual blackmail and things like that, where there you have powerful ringleaders that are videotaping essentially politicians and academics, even, as I said, which is interesting. I'm going to talk more about that later. And other high-ups, even royals, Prince Andrew, Duke of York. And then, of course, consequently, potentially then are extracting favors from them, extracting the power and the leverage that they have through this blackmail. So, again, much to wade through here, Adam, but what do you make of it in the summary that we just watched here?
That girl, she got 75 girls for Epstein from 14, 15, 16 years old, and there's hundreds of girls. His thirst, his lust for young girls, like 18 years old isn't good enough. He just has to get them, has to be 13 and 14. And also what that prosecutor said about how, you know, it sounded like a conspiracy theorist that the government was working with Epstein's lawyers to cover this up, and then it sounded so preposterous that he didn't want to believe it. I feel like that's how a lot of conspiracies work. They're so over the top that people just can't accept them.
It shows that it goes to the highest of the elite circles, as we know. And, you know, there is questions of who put this pressure on someone like Acosta, for example, Alexander Acosta, who we heard in there. He was a U.S. District Attorney in Southern Florida at the time. Now he's a labor secretary under Trump, right? And it sounds even like, yes, he played along and did all these things, but he was actually even threatened himself to do this, right? He's a, in other words, a compromised individual, which we then can conclusively say is now in the Trump administration too. But this is the nature of the game.
Either Acosta is compromised, or he's controlled by somebody that's compromised.
Yeah, exactly. He's just a puppet put in the right place and right position to do whatever they want him to do. I think the Dershowitz connection is very, very interesting and very important as well, because he's, of course, he's almost one of these, like, the top lawyer in America. You know, Fox News loves to go to him, of course, for all their legal questions and stuff like that. And he's a big name. I think he's up almost 80 now or something like that. Victoria Roberts, which is one of the prime witnesses, have of course fought him, and she has accused him of sleeping with her, or I guess raping her, really, in a sense. and being violent towards her and stuff like that. And he's, you know, categorically denied this. There's nothing to it and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think that he is actually a key component in this. What's your view on Dershowitz and what role he actually, allegedly, we must say, legally here, have played in all of this?
Yeah, well, of course, he denies it all. The tie-in with Mike Cernovich, how Cernovich did his documentary hoaxed with Dershowitz was in it, and I believe they had some law lawyer connection as well. Dershowitz also, his connections to Chabad and how he's always so pro-Trump and pro-Zionist. And he also got OJ off the hook. Also, he was OJ's lawyer. So definitely it's weird that like he's defending Epstein and he's friends with Epstein, but he's also blamed in all this and he's been denying it. But, you know, I think a lot of people aren't believing him, especially now that he's getting arrested. One of the headlines was that people are sweating, you know, important big timers are sweating and nervous that they're going to get in trouble and they're going to get dragged into this, and he's definitely the first on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was actually looking for that photo of Cernovich, and there it actually is. Let me pull it in right here. Here it is. There he is, right? Meeting. That was his producer there to the left as well. I forget what his name was, but this was when they were doing Silenced, I believe, or something. They got a lot of money, a fundraiser, to do the documentary. Meeting with Dershowitz, which is interesting, of course, because Cernovich have been kind of a key component in exposing this, allegedly, right?
Is the key component, if you ask him. He's not so modestly taking, he's mad that he's not getting the credit in the media that he was, filed for this, these documents to be released. And he's trying to take credit, saying, yeah, Cernovich Media did this.
Yeah. Is there any truth to that?
Well, he apparently is the one that filed the lawsuit, but what I've heard is that he's filing to have the same Jane Doe's released, the same thing that Dershowitz wanted. So he's filing the same motions as Dershowitz, but saying that he's like not working with him. So I find that a little odd.
Yeah. Did you see Brian Young of High Impact Flicks did a little bit of an analysis of Dershowitz and kind of how he reasons and stuff like that? I don't know if you saw this, but I have also a short clip of that. Let's take a look at that, just get into the mind of someone like Dershowitz, because again, I think if he's the guy that essentially got Epstein acquitted, then he's a key component in this. He's a node point in the network, if you will. Keep in mind too that Alan Dershowitz was actually responsible for making sure that Victoria Roberts' affidavit was actually thrown out. In other words, her testimony was not taken into consideration and heard at the end of the day. And of course, weaved into that was Dershowitz, the kind of the accusations. But let's take a look at that clip just to see how he reasons. Brian Young did a good job on the series.
Dershowitz's own mouth, he didn't choose to defend pedophile Jeffrey Epstein because he thought his client was innocent. He didn't do it because he thought it was a grave injustice to lock away Epstein for having done nothing wrong. He defended him because he knew he couldn't be fired.
I felt I had an obligation to take on the most unpopular cases because I couldn't be fired.
I don't know what the hell kind of reason that is, but let's proceed with a partial recap.
But I'm going to continue to try to get the best deal I can.
Well, this is
I've gotten guilty people acquitted of murder.
If you ever question the phrase lawyers are liars, here's your proof. The only catch is, at this moment, he's actually telling the truth. Dershowitz is admitting here that he's a professional promoter and defender of evil by way of deceit and crafty legal arguments.
Well, this is where it does get more complicated for you in your personal life, because you're now being sued by one of the women who was involved in that original investigation of Epstein. Virginia Roberts is her name, who claims that Epstein lent her out for sex to some of his friends, including you, when she was underage. You've been very vocal in your denials. Now she's suing you for defamation, saying you're falsely attacking her, trying to intimidate her into silence. You said that you welcome this lawsuit. You want to take it on.
Yeah, I want.
Is there anything that could come out of this guy's mouth that could possibly be believed? So let's listen to him defend himself against allegations that Epstein loaned out a child for sex to Mr. Defender of the Guilty himself.
And I also welcome her coming on the show and accusing me face to face. She has never accused me except under the protection of the litigation privilege, because it's completely false. Let me tell you what the evidence is, just very briefly. Oh, well, let me just tell you what the evidence is.
You have to do it quickly.
Yeah, well.
So go, Mr. Defense Attorney. Defend yourself. Prove to us that you didn't have sex with a kid who was loaned out to you by the very serial child sex offender and trafficker you got to go free.
She has an email exchange with a journalist in which she admits she didn't have sex with me. She writes a book manuscript in which she says she knew me, she didn't know me, but she didn't have sex with me. She told her best friend she didn't want to accuse me, but she was pressured to do it by her lawyers. There's a tape recording of her own lawyer saying it would be impossible for me to have sex with her, and she was wrong, simply.
Notice he keeps looking down at his notes. So he had the talking points for his defense down before he even walked on the set. And none of what he says is anything that we can verify.
Wrong. I have travel records showing that I couldn't have been in any of the places she said she had sex with me. I asked Louis Freeh, the former head of the FBI, to do a thorough investigation. He came to the conclusion that she was making a false accusation.
Louis Freeh, former head of the FBI, one of the most corrupt organizations in the world, is going to speak on your behalf. I'm sure Dershowitz has many friends in high places who are willing to cover for him.
I have been falsely accused. I support the Me Too movement. But when a woman falsely accuses for financial reasons, she was hoping to get a third of $1 billion.
I'm sure Alan here has never had any power or money motive in his defense of high-profile millionaire and billionaires.
Suing Leslie Wexner, the owner of Victoria's Secret, she also accused him in private after accusing me in public, hoping to get a third of $1 billion. Where do I get that figure from? She told that to her best friend.
Okay.
I have that on tape. So I am welcoming this trial. This is the first opportunity I have to conclusively prove my innocence.
He actually wants you to believe his case for his innocence after he just admitted to putting murderers back out in the street.
I have invited
Alan,
the FBI
Alan,
to come
you
to trial
stop.
So
Alan,
that they
you want
can
me to give the book away?
Who's telling the truth.
You gotta give
This guy and many, many others in media and government complete the cycle of psychological operations where the goal is to remove any and all sensitivities to that which is good, right, fair, true, noble, decent, and just.
All right, that's it. Brian Young, thank you for that segment there. Good job on that. It really shows you the mentality and what a professional bender of truth this guy really is, right? And the fact that there's no morality that's backing this up. It's just unscrupulous. Whatever we can do to manipulate the courts and just win and get it in our favor, let's do that. It's very, it's impossible to trust a guy like this, to be honest. Whatever he says.
Right. I saw this video a while back. It's been out for a little bit. And I actually talked to Brian of High Impact Flicks today. He was asking me what I thought about the Cernovich aspect in all this, how he ties in.
Yeah. So latest here about this, Dershowitz, as well as they kind of said in the interview there too, first he actually welcomed the lawsuit, and now the latest update here, this is a few days ago, he wanted tossed out right now. So things are heating up around these guys, right? Something is happening. Something is going down. There's a couple of things, but one of them is the prior coverage that we did of the story, and just quickly wade through some of the headlines, because we actually had this. I think there would be just interesting to people if they or they could find this interesting, that we had covered, as I said, written about this back in 2011, 2015, 2007, I think, is when this picked up and we started posting on this on the website. Headlines like this: Prince Andrew's friend, Ghislaine Maxwell, some underage girls, and a very disturbing story. Prince Andrew named in U.S. lawsuit over underage sex claims. How Alan Dershowitz bullied rape victims to protect a serial child molester. This is actually from back in 2015. But I realized today that it was most likely, it was one of the victims of in this case, of the Epstein, one girl that was a part of Epstein's sex ring, sex slave, essentially, that actually wrote to me. And this is many years ago now. And she actually kindly asked me to remove an article. And and of course, this was all over the place at the time. It was Daily Mail and stuff. I think we had done like small editions, maybe put some extra photos in there. Much of the article was like quotations from like Daily Mail or The Guardian or something like that. But she was explaining how I'm seeking to move on and I don't want this out there kind of anymore. And I believe it was Victoria Roberts. And now, of course, she changed her mind on this because she actually had a child of her own. She explained this in one of her interviews and said, like, well, we have to get this out there and stuff. And actually, for that reason, I didn't honor that. And it was not to be mean to her. It was just like, hey, this is so important. Like, there's other victims out there. This has to be known. And, you know, she wrote to me on an email I no longer have. Again, this is like 2007 or 2008 or something like that. But this is kind of interesting that she was out there and trying to kind of just leave this behind her and move on. And it wasn't until she had a child she realized that this could happen to my kid someday. I have to speak out. So now the cat's kind of out of the box, and anything could really come from this. What do you think is going to happen with the names? Latest we heard, they are, let me see if I can find that here. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein is set to give up names of individuals who paid for underage sex in return for a maximum prison sentence that will not exceed 5 years. Now, sounds like another good deal to me, frankly, in terms of what he's been involved in here. So my take on this was likely he'll actually throw lesser people orbiting the elite circles under the bus and not give us any of the big names and the essential key people. What do you think is going to happen?
I think if anything happens, he's the one that's going to take the fall. I don't think that he's going to out anybody, any of his handlers or anybody that's above him. Maybe he will throw some lesser people down, but not any of his, not anybody above him in the pyramid.
And the question is, as someone else said, that even if those, you know, kind of more insignificant people are exposed or revealed, then of course there will be an investigation on to them and what they knew and who they worked with, kind of thing. But this could be one of those like keystones here that basically gets the whole arc to collapse and fall apart. I don't want to get my hopes up. We always know that, of course, there's a lot of corrupt people and a lot of people on the way here within the justice system, as we've seen, as evidenced by the case already. They will simply do everything that it takes to keep this, to put the lid back on, to maybe throw a couple of sacrifices out there for people, essentially, some scapegoats. But I don't know. What's your view on it? Is something big going to come from this?
I don't know where this is going. I have no idea. I don't have the answers. I'm a little confused by it, just trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Like everybody, I think it's interesting that Victoria Roberts didn't want the story out. She contacted you, but then she had her child. That's the same story that we heard from the guys that spoke out about Michael Jackson. That they grew up and had their children, and that's what got them to change their mind as well.
Oh,
but you know, I don't know. I hope we already have such big names. You know, what is it? The Duke and the Prince. Trump was connected. Ehud Barak.
That's right.
That's somebody else.
Yep.
That Victoria Roberts mentioned. She said that she was connected with a prime minister, a famous prime minister, and people think that she's talking about Ehud Barak. Oh, yeah, there's a list.
That's
there,
right. He was mentioned there. And, you know, again, Prince Andrew, Duke of York. It means that these people are roping in royalty. You know, they're roping in some of the highest up within, like, you know, within the West, essentially. And so, you know, the speculation here, of course, it's easy to over-speculate. It is easy to just kind of go full on out when these kinds of things are revealed and just say, like, oh, this is it. This is the network and, you know, all these ties to elite pedophile rings and circles and stuff like that. But of course it's when you're handed this kind of stuff, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that people go in this direction and start talking about it. Now, I've always felt that this is one of the mechanisms by which they enforce control, essentially. And the same thing she mentioned with academia was very interesting. She actually, Virginia Roberts specifically talked about Harvard as being one of the, like, a lot of high up people within Harvard were actually roped into this, and they had sex with her and these kinds of things. That basically means that the whole damn system that we're getting right now, from everything from globalism to enforcement of, like, the PC culture, essentially, and we have to call it, we can't say replacement anymore. I think that's a banned word. So we have to say, the substitution politics that's ongoing right now is enforced by individuals like this, right? Like that there are in these spheres, they are doing these kinds of things. And again, either they willfully walked into it or they were fooled into it, essentially, and maybe they were, you know, kind of videotaped and stuff like this. But so many people in the conspiracy field have always kind of talked about this, that this is how they keep control. This is how they only let the right individuals, so to speak, into positions of influence and power, because they will never go outside of bounds. They will never derail in some way or go outside of what the agenda is, because they will always have someone and something over their head that can say, you stay in line, or you do this on this decision, or don't do that, or whatever. It could just be about nudging them just at the right time, at the right positions. It might not be a hyper control of the whole picture of every individual, but it's about the fact that if you hold something over someone and they know who's the boss, if you would know what I mean, then they will be compromised and they will be controlled, right?
Yeah, it's like when you look deep into this, it seems like Epstein isn't the front. He's just a front man for like a bigger, like Mossad blackmail sex ring or something like that.
He's like the administrator. He's like the organizer, you could say, essentially, right? Call him like a sex addict, I guess, mm-hmm. right? He's just an endless stream of young girls, and this is all that he does, kind of thing. But what's interesting about this is that weaved into that is an interest and an agenda which has to do with getting famous people to go to his island. And essentially what it looks like, then offer them free sex with underage girls. I haven't heard anything of boys being involved yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's some things that happen as well. Maybe even younger in age, but get them there and then in some way offer them these services again, either because he wants something in return, or again, it's much more nefarious and much more deeper than that it's about controlling those individuals. Bill Clinton was there. Trump was there, and Trump actually was apparently one of the guys that were willing to give information to the prosecutors and actually sat down and called the guys and said, he was a good guy. We can actually play that clip real quick because it shows us a little bit. Here is what he said during an interview. I think it's Hannity. Let's just listen to this.
Bill Clinton, nice guy. Got a lot of problems coming up, in my opinion, with the famous island with Jeffrey Epstein. A lot of problems.
So that's kind of interesting. And then, again, the prosecutor checked this little portion out here, too, regarding Trump.
Obviously, our current president has had relationships with Epstein in the past, and there are those Katie Johnson and maybe other victims who have accused Trump of being involved in things like this. In my experience, Trump supporters will not listen to anything along those lines. Obviously, we're not a court of law here right now, but are those claims, that case was dropped, it was dropped before it went to court. In your opinion as a lawyer and your experience, is there anything you can say as to the validity of those claims or whether or not there will be any more about that?
Nothing at all. The only thing that I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And was very helpful in the information that he gave and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us and that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
That was in 2009.
That was in 2009.
Interesting. So maybe this is not the thing that they have on Trump. You know what I mean?
Well, that would explain why he's being arrested now, because it doesn't make sense why he would be arrested if Trump was involved, and that would bring Trump down.
Maybe it is someone that's trying to get to him through this case or something, too. I really don't know. But apparently he threw out, again, Victoria Roberts was at Mar-a-Lago when Epstein recruited her, right? Essentially, mm-hmm. like paid her money to do all these things. And apparently Trump kicked him out of that when he found out about this and never invited him back and stuff like that. So maybe on this case, his hands are clean or whatever. But again, it's just let's just kind of wade through some of the headlines here, because did you see some of the stuff that's happening actually on the island as well when it comes to this weird temple and stuff like that? Did you see some of the images of that?
It's like I sure have. It's weird. Everybody calls it a temple, and I saw True News' take on it today. It was so funny. Rick Wiles was like, "It's a Kabbalah Satanist temple, and they're sacrificing children." Like he didn't hold back at all. But I think it looks like the Dome of the Rock. On the Temple Mount,
of course,
that they want to destroy.
Exactly, and you have this like little kind of. You know, owl has always been a symbol kind of associated with like the Illuminati and stuff like that. It has kind of the blue and the white stripes. It's kind of like a Shriner temple, really. And there is some, you know, rumors about underground facilities. And this image here, they claim it is like, well, this is, I can actually go up in full screen on that image there. It's an elevator room, right? That actually, because it's fairly small, the footprint of this thing. So it actually goes deeper down and further into it. And again, actually, we spoke about this on the Weekend Warrior show, but there are, and again, all of this is rumor. It's very difficult to confirm this stuff, at least at this stage. We just have to see if anything comes out of this and actually is revealed when they request more evidence. But this article claimed that there was someone that claimed that they knew about Epstein, they knew about, you know, the island and stuff like that, had posted an Instagram post that was like a photo of a screen with surveillance cameras, right? And apparently, you know, people did some kind of forensics of this and said, here's like, it's underground, some kind of underground facility. There's kids there.
You know, stairs there.
Yeah. So again, is the link there? I don't know. This is just massive speculation, but it's interesting.
Well, I read today that the police raided the whole island, just like they had a warrant for his house and his apartment in Manhattan and found all the pornography of the underage girls.
And check this out. If that's true, and depending on when that was, there was actually a massive fire on the island. The date for this is January 5th, that neighboring islands had seen a massive fire at the island, and people were speculating that, of course, it was intentional to burn evidence. Maybe even this temple or whatever the hell it is, the elevator shaft, was part of that and burned down. I don't know. I just hope that we get more information about this. It's just a bunch of question
marks.
They're
burning all the whips and chains and sex toys.
Exactly. All the dildos up in smoke.
Yeah.
Jeez. Nothing to laugh at, I guess, but it's macabre, right. So we have to kind of joke a little bit about it, too. The little black book is one of the points that people have pointed to, which actually was essentially a contact book that Epstein had for a lot of these people. There were flight logs of the Lolita Express, as it was referred to, and it's just like a massive list of really wealthy and powerful and influential people. And you have to ask, to what end was Epstein trying to seek these people to be part of something like this? And it's also kind of surprising how few people of these people have actually said, heck no, I'm going to expose you. I'm going to speak out. Yeah, I know it's kind of small on the screen there on that, but it's just
people
some of the.
Trying to say that Trump was trying to like low key expose him when he did. You know, he was interviewed decades ago and said that he's a great guy and a lot of fun to hang out with, and that he likes young women as much as I do, or something like that. And you know, there's two ways you can look at that. Like he knows, and he's telling people like, oh yeah, he's. That he likes the young girls, like he's trying to warn people, or he just, you know, Trump's like, yeah, I like the young girls too, which, you know, he's always been very proud of him and his womanizing the women that he gets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that was posted on Zero Hedge about his little black book, and people can look into that too, which was interesting. Check out this line here. The book was smuggled out of Epstein's residence by his former house manager, Alfredo Rodriguez, who was busted trying to sell it in 2009 for $50,000, only to get caught, charged with obstruction of justice, and die in prison 18 months from a long illness. So that's kind of odd, right? There's a lot of these things around this case as well, where people have just completely folded, or they've died, or they're vanished. It's almost like the Clintons' little hit list kind of...
He released the secret notebook, and that's obstruction of justice. That's odd.
I guess so. Again, maybe because he stole something? I don't know what the claim is there. But again, the scary part of this is, like, just like one of the victims said, one of the girls, is that, you know, we think that, like, you know, we're dealing with people who are supposed to protect us and look after us and be the law and all this kind of stuff, but these people are in on it. These people are compromised, or they're intentionally there to wreak havoc. And the question is how far and how deep this goes. And I think it goes almost all the way to the top. The question is who's not part of this, right? Who's not part of these networks if they hold any kind of influence and power? And it is kind of scary, right?
Definitely, yeah. Anybody that's shilling for hard for Zion, there's a good chance that could be a reason why.
Prince Andrew sex allegations. Slave girl Virginia Roberts claims she had orgy with Duke and eight other girls, right? He's been roped into this too. They have issued statements and said, no, we had, you know, nothing to do with this or whatever. But, you know, her testimony is there. And again, Dershowitz managed to get that thrown out in the last sentencing. So it was first time Epstein got this really cush sentencing. He could literally walk out the facility practically whenever he wanted. He had to just return at night, essentially, but he could visit everyone, do whatever the hell he wanted, which proves that it was a big farce, essentially, the first sentence he got.
Yeah, the guy Krischer, the prosecutor, wanted to give him a misdemeanor. And then also in 2007, he had a plea agreement where it was a non-prosecution agreement, and he was never federally charged. Only in 2008, he pled guilty to state court of one count of procuring underage girl for prostitution. It's a felony, and for solicitation of prostitution.
Jeez.
And he's a flight risk. They're talking about that he's going to try to pay bail. The guy's an international man of mystery. He's going to flee in a heartbeat on his private jet to one of his many mansions around the world.
Exactly. Any country that don't have an extradition treaty with the U.S., that's where he and I guess many other people, too, if they're named or even preemptively. So I heard it in passing. I forget what show, but it's like, watch which people are going to leave, you know, the United States or Europe and go to, like, you know, Cuba or something like that to, like,
Israel,
try to get out.
Maybe.
Israel, exactly. Yeah, that's right. No, there is a tie here to Israel, to Mossad, and that's kind of definitely an underpinning here. I do want to squeeze into that extra little testimony from Miami Herald that we had from Virginia Roberts, because, and again, she's the girl we can see here in the picture. She has been key in restarting all of this, and she's been a key problem again for Dershowitz and for Epstein. But let's just take a look at that clip that I had, because I think it's worth to hear a little bit more from her. So check this out.
Virginia Roberts was working in the spa at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club in Palm Beach when British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell introduced her to multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein.
The training started immediately. I mean, it was everything down to how to give a blowjob, how to be quiet, be subservient, give Jeffrey what he wants. A lot of this training came from Ghislaine herself. And being a woman, it kind of surprises you that a woman could actually let stuff like that happen, but not only let it happen, but to groom you into doing it. And then there's Jeffrey, who's telling you, I want it this way. No, go slower and don't do that and do this. And eventually it led to, well, now we're going to experiment and we're going to try you with another guy and see how you go. So they sent me to an island with a professor, and I basically had to do what I did for Jeffrey for him. So it's very private.
I think
she's
talking about Dershowitz there, actually.
For a billionaire getting away with what he was doing. He could hold big parties there and have huge orgies there, and nobody would have any idea what was going on, because it was so quiet and so protected. And it started with one, and then it trickled into two, and then so on and so forth. And, you know, before you know it, I'm being lent out to politicians and to academics and to people that you, royalty.
Roberts claimed in an affidavit the two of the men that Epstein lent her out to were attorney Alan Dershowitz and Prince Andrew, the Duke of York. Dershowitz and Prince Andrew have both denied any involvement with Roberts. A judge later struck Roberts' affidavit from the court record, but the ruling did not address the veracity of her allegations. Dershowitz said he was nonetheless vindicated.
It's called Lolita Express for a reason. That was a vessel for him to be able to abuse girls and get away with it without anybody being alarmed or any alarm bells going off. It was all the same no matter where you went. All Jeffrey cared about was, go find me more girls. To me, still to this day, it is my biggest shame that I carry around that I will never get rid of. And I'm really, really sad that I brought other girls my age and even younger into a world that they should have never been introduced to.
At age 19, Robert said that she was sent to Thailand to take a massage course and to pick up a girl for Epstein. Instead, she fell in love and moved to Australia, where she and her husband live with their three children.
I escaped. I called Jeffrey to let him know that I was not coming back and I was not bringing the little Thai girl back. And he said, you know what? Have a nice life, and hung up the phone. And that was it. And I thought, I'm off the hook. I'm off the chain. I can go. I can live free. 2007, I was pregnant with my middle son. And I get a phone call from Ghislaine one day in Australia. I'm in Australia. I was like, how the hell did she just find me? Like,
I've been out of their life for so long. What's going on? She's like, have you talked to anybody? Have you told anybody what's happened? Like, you know, have you reported us or anything? And I said, no. I haven't spoken to anybody. Okay, good. You stay like that. You stay quiet. The next day, Jeffrey calls me with his lawyer on the phone. And he asks me the same questions. Have you talked to anybody? Are you going to report me? Are you going to talk to anybody? And I'm like, where is this all coming from? Like, what is going on? The next day, I get another phone call. And this time, it's from an FBI agent. Like, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah from the FBI. Have you given Jeffrey Epstein a blowjob? Did you have a shower with Jeffrey Epstein? Did you ever bring any girls over for Jeffrey Epstein? I'm like, I don't even know who you are. 6 months later, I get a knock at the door, and it's the Australian Federal Police. It was like a 12-page document about Jeffrey Epstein and what he had done and how, you know, I was a victim and they've identified me as one. It takes so long to get to a point where you're able just to speak about it. I mean, it took me having a daughter and looking at this beautiful, young, innocent baby to say, I want to speak out about it now. You know, if we can make that point across, that doesn't matter how rich you are, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, these guys will get it in the end.
All right, so that's her testimony. So it was an affidavit. He was using the right term as my spacing for a moment there. So Dershowitz managed to get her affidavit thrown out, which was a key one, of course, to rope him and others into it. But again, it's like it's a web of just disgusting behavior and people that are covering up. They're covering for each other. It's money involved. For these girls, it's actually a fairly small amount, a few $100 here. I was surprised by that. I thought it was like in the thousands. But again, since these were girls that were, they were poor. They had, you know, abuse issues within families and stuff. They were homeless in some cases. You know, they were perfect to also keep it cheap, right? And so, as you said, Adam, if she, only her, managed to get like 75 other women, and he puts pressure on them to also continue to do the same, I just wonder what kind of a number we're talking about here. It's got to be in the thousands, to be honest.
Oh, so many. And just imagine the giant orgies they had on that island. And Clinton visited there so many times. Epstein bragged that he was like behind the Clinton Foundation or helped start the Clinton Foundation.
It's I think Clinton was there. Was it 26 times? And the latest news I heard is he denied that he was there.
Oh, really? He's denying it now? I saw that he made a statement. I didn't see what it was. But I wonder why he'd go there so many times to the same a busy guy like Clinton.
Yeah, let me pull this up here. I'm Googling this as we speak. Breaking, Bill Clinton denies knowing anything about his pedophile friend Jeffrey Epstein, but flight logs show otherwise, right? So, yeah, former President Bill Clinton was a long-term friend with pedophile Jeffrey Epstein and released a statement about the billionaire's arrest over the weekend on charges related to sex abuse and trafficking. President Clinton knows nothing about the terrible crimes Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty to in Florida some years ago, or those with which he has been recently charged in New York in 2002-2003. President Clinton took a total of 4 trips on Jeffrey Epstein's airplane, 1 to Europe, 1 to Asia, and 2 to Africa, which included stops in connection with the work of the Clinton Foundation. Spokesperson for Clinton said staff supporters of the foundation and his secretary of service detailed travel on every leg of the trip. He had one meeting with Epstein in his Harlem office in 2002 and around the same time made one brief visit to Epstein's New York apartment with a staff member, blah, blah, blah. But this is what Monica Lewinsky was about. This guy could literally, he had to dip everything with 2 legs, essentially, right? I mean, he couldn't keep his hands off whatever it was that showed up. So clearly he's involved in this, and they're just trying to cover this up. There might not be specific proof now, but there are pictures of him with Epstein and even with girls and stuff like that, right?
I mean, Clinton's the guy that told the world, lied to the world that he did not have sexual relations with that woman. Like, yeah. Now he expects us to believe him about this? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, here
and,
he is.
The Clinton
with Trump.
Foundation. Yeah, who's that on the left with Trump? And that's Melania on the right?
I think it's on the right, but on the left, no idea. It looks like some Playboy model. She has, that logo right on her shirt there. So.
Yeah, the Clinton Foundation has been accused of trafficking as well.
Absolutely.
So that would make sense.
The whole Haiti debacle. And again, I mean, remember that strip where the pizza shop was like, you know, the Clinton Foundation had their little offices right across from there, and that's where the Clinton Foundation kind of initiated their Haiti response, I think, after the earthquake, was it, in Haiti? Like, there's weird connections and stuff like that. And personally, I think that, you know, this idea with that location of this pizzeria, I think that that's a deflection. It's to take kind of a – it's to hone in on a little area which is, like, much bigger than this and far many wider connections. I think that was a very convenient way for them to kind of divert off that. And then you had that guy who was like walked in there and apparently shot up the place and stuff like that. So that kind of derailed
pretty
quick.
That psycho that went and tried to burn it down, that No More News guy.
Yeah, you were accused of, what was his name again? The other kooky guy who was thrown off of Twitter. He accused you of being that guy, right?
Jacob Wall, yeah.
Wall, that's right, exactly, yeah. You sent some links for Dershowitz as well. Let's get into some of those, Adam. Let me pull them up here. Shabbat honors Alan Dershowitz at 770. Is that right?
I don't know what that means.
But I don't know what that means either. maybe was it at 70?
He also helped get Shalom Rubishkin his pardon that Trump did when he first got into office.
Okay.
Maybe. So Dershowitz is a close friend of Chabad.
Oh, sorry. I saw it here. 770 is referred to the address, Eastern Parkway, in I guess, New York or something.
Oh, it's
like that.
Their headquarters in Crown Heights.
Yeah, okay. So at everyone knows what at 770 means. So
I thought it was at 666. That's where Kushner.
That's
got
Kushner, exactly. Yeah, I think he sold that at the end or something, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he lost a bunch of money on it too.
Yeah, that's right. So
he sold it to, actually, or who he bought it to or sold it to was a Israeli group. Oh man, I'm forgetting the name of it now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, it's fine. That's an interesting thing. I didn't know who, he fought like crazy to buy that property, by the way. And he did, as you said, lose a lot of money on that. Dershowitz at Chabad. This is pretty long, but I guess he did a speech.
Oh no, we're not going to play it. I'm just showing that he's all over Chabad's website because Chabad ties in, some other connections as well with, Leslie Wexner.
Yeah. Wexner, I read something about it and he is the guy. He owns Victoria's Secret. It was another guy that started initially, but he bought it up and he turned it into this kind of whole thing that it is. And he was roped in because Epstein worked on with his finances or something like that, I believe. I forget exactly what the connection was.
What I was going to say is this, I know this is off topic, but it was the Carlyle Group that invested in Kushner 666.
Oh, interesting.
Fifth Avenue. You know them from 9/11 and a bunch of Zionists are there too.
Interesting.
So yeah, there he is at Oxford Chabad. Oxford also honored the Rothschilds, which that's how Dershowitz met Epstein, was through Lady Lynn Evelyn Rothschild. And then they went to Les Wexner's birthday party shortly after that. And that's when they all became friends, according to Dershowitz.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know about that. Yeah, so there's a lot of high rollers here. Epstein accuses as he was assaulted in billionaire Les Wexner's home. One of sex offenders Jeff Epstein's accuser claimed that he had been assaulted in the home of billionaire Leslie Wexner. Epstein was arrested Saturday, blah, blah, blah. Wexner is a co-founder and CEO of L Brands, which includes Victoria's Secrets, all these other companies. This guy is very, very wealthy. Net worth of $4.7 billion, making him the richest person in Ohio, where he resides. Do you know anything about Wexner and his other connections?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. He's a huge Zionist. He's a founding financier of the Birthright movement. You know how they get all the Jews to go to
Israel?
Oh, is
he behind Birthright? Really?
He funds that with the Bronfmans and the Rothschilds. And that's interesting because the Bronfmans are also just recently, their heiress got pled guilty for the Nexium sex cult. So another sex ring connected to the Bronfmans, which Edgar Bronfman was the head of the World Jewish Congress that's getting rid of your Thor hammer up there in Sweden.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that's interesting. Let's just kind of wade through some of these headlines here. Jeffrey Epstein, international money man of mystery. Again, I think that the connection is to Wexner.
Yeah, they're saying he's not a billionaire, and really he doesn't like when people say this, but Leslie Wexner basically made him. He was his first billionaire client. And so people speculate that he's like a front man, a hatchet man for Wexner that does like the dirty work, or also he's handled by Ghislaine Maxwell and her dad was Mossad and a big-time Zionist as well. And his Chabad connections with Wexner, he's a front man for a sex blackmail operator ring.
Yeah, that's right. Ghislaine is actually a key component here because she's the one who initiated contact with the younger girls on behalf of Epstein. And again, I'm not too sure what her angle is here, what she's getting out of this and how she even initially was tied to Epstein. But she's a British socialite and the youngest child of publisher Robert Maxwell. And he's a Jewish guy from Czechoslovakia originally, ended up going over to the UK, setting up like newspapers and stuff like that. Some major publishing houses and things like that. A lot of money, wealthy as hell as well.
Yeah, a media mogul. He was a huge Zionist that helped arm the Zionists in 1948, and also he convinced Czechoslovakia to arm them. And then when he died, he was buried in Jerusalem, so he went
back to
the homeland.
Yep, I was going to say the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem Cemetery, or Jewish Cemetery in Jerusalem. So that's pretty interesting, right? So he's an important cog in this, and I would assume that the daughter was kind of like tasked with like continuing this and stuff like that, and just essentially being the go-between between people like Wexner and Epstein, and then being tied to all these other individuals in Europe, essentially.
Seymour Hersh, I think, wrote a book on Maxwell and said that he was a Mossad agent, and then he died mysteriously. He drowned off of his yacht, and he was involved. Maxwell, he was involved with Los Alamos and stealing nuclear technology as well, something like that. So just another one of these kind of like Arnon Milkon, Adelson, like, billionaire that are just so pro-Israel.
Director, they have a tie-in through other businesses and industries, essentially, right? And then they can, through that, they can do different things that gets them access to people or individuals or international things or national, important decision-making, power, influence, and stuff like that. And she, I mean, listen to this. Ghislaine, if that's how you pronounce it, I'm not quite clear on that, but she founded a successful women's club named after the original Kit Kat Club in the 18th century London, which, of course, again, was the recruitment, the main source of where she was getting the initial girls, to begin with. So they headed over to America, got a lot of, girls there. And as we know, most of them, too, I guess we could just point that out, it just seems to be majority European, non-Jewish women that he had. Blondes in many cases, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Epstein.
Yeah, that's what Molyneux was tweeting. And, I think I got that wrong about, just to correct myself, Maxwell. What happened was there was a guy, Mordecai Vanhoenu, who gave information about
Israel's
nuclear capabilities, the nukes. And then he had something to do with him getting arrested and convicted of treason and stuff.
Oh, interesting. So he was in the back end of ensuring that Israel could keep their nuclear weapons, in other
words.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, interesting. As you said, we can actually pull that up, that tweet there by Molyneux. He said, I wonder did Jeffrey Epstein abuse any J-ish girls? It's like, he got a lot of flack, I guess, for that, too.
I'm a little surprised this coming from Stefan, because I always thought he was such a Zionist, on board with the Zionist agenda, but apparently not in this instance.
Yeah, it's interesting. Apparently, he has some heritage on that within that tribe himself. His mom, I believe, comes from there.
But this is a good point. This is similar to the Harvey Weinstein type of thing with the Shiksas and how they kind of view them as. I sent you over what Maimonides says about a Gentile woman. And they kind of have these weird laws where it's like if a J sleeps with a Gentile woman, that like she's the one that gets punished. Similar to, I think that's what we hear about in Islam even.
Yeah, do you want me to pull that up? Actually,
like honor killings or something.
Yeah, they're like unclean or whatever, right? It comes from this. Now, this is a book. Is it Israel Shahak, which is the author of this book?
That's right. Yeah, Jewish History and Jewish Religion. And I saw that tweet from Molyneux, and it got me thinking one of an article from Rachel Weiss, who she was in The Mummy. She's a Hollywood actress. She says that Hollywood actors are kind of like prostitutes, and the Hollywood actors is run by you-know-whos. There you go. Perfect. You have it up. It's at the bottom. It's the bottom quote is the specific one. A little further of the bold text.
Oh, there we go.
The bottom of the bold text.
The bottom of the bold text. Got it. Okay.
There it is. In some way, acting is prostitution, and Hollywood Jews don't want their own women to participate. Also, there's an element of Portnoy's complaint. They all fancy Aryan blondes.
Mm.
And it seems like Epstein was had that same thing going on.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, let's read from the Shahak what it says.
With the Weinstein, just quick comment on that, with the Weinstein, you know, Me Too movement and stuff like that, essentially, it's like that kind of derailed because there was a lot of people who were like not the expected individuals, right? What ended up happening is like a lot of directors were caught into this, a lot of progressives and, you know, people who even declared themselves like being feminists and stuff like this. You know, they were like the main kind of brunt of those that were accused, essentially, which kind of steering the whole thing kind of off in the wrong direction. But yeah, anyway, let's switch over and read some of those. Again, I just briefly skimmed over it.
The concept of adultery does not apply between a Jew and a Gentile woman. Rather, the Talmud equates such intercourse to the sin of bestiality for the same reason that Gentile. And then it says, according to the Talmudic encyclopedia, he who has carnal knowledge of the wife of a Gentile is not liable to the death penalty, for it is written, thy fellow's wife rather than the alien's wife shall cleave unto his wife, which is addressed to the Gentiles, does not apply to a Jew. Oh, the Jew is exempted. So this does not imply that sexual intercourse between a Jew man and a Gentile woman is permitted. Quite the contrary. Here's the important part. The main punishment is inflicted on the Gentile woman. She must be executed even if she was raped by the Jew.
Jeez.
And then it says that the Jew, however, must be flogged. Here's the most important part. And that all Gentile women are presumed to be prostitutes. And that's 46. Maimonides says that. You can skip to the 46 citation here.
And
Israel Shahak is Jewish, by the way.
Yep.
See it right there. As a matter of fact, every Gentile woman is regarded as an acronym for Mida, Shifa, Goya, Zona, as meaning unpurified slave Gentile prostitute. So that's what Maimonides says, apparently.
Interesting. Now, of course, I don't know if any of the individuals that were roped into this were religious or not, but this is from the Talmud, is that correct? The scriptures, the sources for this?
Yeah, the 44 citation was, but this one's from Maimonides.
I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of it, actually.
He's one of the most, Maimonides is one of the most respected Jewish leaders.
Okay, alive or
past? Ben Shapiro loves him. Oh, no, he died a long time
ago. Yeah, I would figure. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think I've heard the name in passing, but not to up to speed about that. So this is religious teaching and interpretation of religious scriptures from their point of view. And again, I mean, who knows if that plays into this. Another giveaway and a reveal, of course, too, was that there was a lot of people, and they said this in Miami Herald piece, that it was a lot of women from the Eastern Bloc that had been essentially kidnapped. And I remember hearing stories for years about how Israel was a hub, actually, for sexual slavery. And in most cases, it was Eastern European women that were in sex slave rings, or whatever you want to call it, in Israel. But every time this has been covered and stuff, it was essentially been blocked and censored and covered up, and we can't really get a lot of information out about that.
Yeah, there was a Times of Israel article, Thousands of Slaves in Israel, Global Study Finds. And also Times of Israel, Diaspora Pedophiles Increasingly Use Israel as a Haven Activist Charge. So they flee there because of the right of return when they get in trouble of their home countries. And you know, you just said that you're not sure how religious these people are behind Epstein. Well, Leslie Wexner, he has an online Zohar course at the Wexner Foundation. So he's teaching the Zohar at his website. Also, he funds Chabad groups.
Lamplighter Awards? Is this part of
it? Yeah, so that's showing Lamplighter Awards. It's showing, if you scroll down a little bit, it's getting a, this Chabad Award is the last name, Zuckerman. That guy has dinner at Epstein's house. So the guy that wins Chabad Awards. And Les Wexner, the guy behind, the millionaire behind Victoria's Secret, he also funds the Mega Group, which is titans of industry that are joining forces to work for Jewish philanthropy. So he's a big Jewish philanthropist as well. And he has that's the Chabad Center from the rabbi that is affiliated with Wexner.
Okay, interesting. So he's a key player in this. And again, the point is they're observing religious customs and traditions weaved into the kind of stuff that someone like Epstein is maybe is doing on behalf of Wexner then, you know, like the
well,
front
just, end? When you look at Epstein, you see Dershowitz and the Chabad connections, and then you see the Wexner and then the Chabad rabbi connections. And then you see Ghislaine Maxwell and Mossad and her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting, right? It's kind of an angle that a lot of people don't talk about.
That's the mega group. See, Bronfman, Michael Steinhardt, Steven Spielberg, all these people.
Yeah. Yes, Spielberg was, implied as well that he had actually gone to the island and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wish Cappy was still here. Cappy would have enjoyed this news, especially because he talked about Steven Spielberg being a pedophile as well.
Yep, that's right.
Allegedly.
Yep, that's right. And did you ever see, now this is going off the rails, and I do have to just say that Isaac Cappy seemed kind of, he's obviously very eccentric and kind of weird, and I don't know if it's a guy you can trust 100%, to be honest, and if it's just more derailing and taking things off in a different direction or something like that, right? And we don't know, did he really jump? I mean, for people who don't know the story, he had committed suicide, apparently. That's what we're told. Two people tried to restrain him, but they weren't successful. He jumped onto Route 66. This was in Arizona off of a bridge and was actually hit by a pickup truck. Consequently, once he landed on the road itself, died at the same time. Ironically, Tom Hanks, I think, was it a couple of days before or something, or even the same day, had done an Instagram photo of one glove lying on a road, and he said, "Oh, at historic Route 66, roadkill?" You know, kind of implying that like he knew that there was something that had happened. Yeah, there are these weird kind of connections. But anyway,
he made huge news accusing Tom Hanks of being a pedophile.
He did, exactly, and it was almost like, "All right, let's take the guy out. He's too vocal," and people were kind of saying that Tom Hanks was like, kind of giving a nod to like, okay, we can do this, right, if it's necessary. He's oh gosh, I hope it's not, or something he ended the post with. It's kind of gruesome. But one clip I guess we can play, and you know, maybe it's okay for the YouTube audience, maybe it's not, maybe this is just have to be a bit shoot part because I know that they have killed this clip, but it's that dead man switch, which people have called it, of Isaac Cappy. And I don't know what to make of it. I don't know where it actually came from. People claimed it was Isaac Cappy, but I don't know. I don't think that has been 100% confirmed. It was either one of the last posts that he did make before he, you know, committed suicide. And he left a kind of a lengthy, weird Instagram post as well about, like, you know, the king. And he was talking about Jesus and being in the light. And it was almost in a way that he was talking about, he realized that he had been part. This is what it sounded like to me when I read that. He had been part of the network himself without kind of realizing this was something that he had been suppressing. And as he was wading through this stuff, primarily within Hollywood that we're talking about now, that they groom people that we know about, like, you know, the Corey Haim and, you know, all these individuals which have, you know, even Macaulay Culkin, tons of kids that have been, like, abused by Hollywood directors and higher-ups in the entertainment industry. They go on and kind of ruin their life. But the idea was that Isaac Cappy, who acted in some, he had minor roles in some movies, was part of that himself, apparently, right? And he started to discover that he had suppressed this stuff, and he started to discover that, oh shit, I was actually part of being an individual which was going to go on and groom other kids and stuff like that, right? And as this dawns on him, he essentially kills himself because of the guilt, right? And that's just one theory and one idea of what happened. But so anyway, make a long story short here, he released, or someone released, a video on, I think it was Paul 4chan or 8chan, claiming that this was Isaac Cappy's dead man switch. It was either it was released and that's then he died, or he died and then it was released. Forget which order. So I've added a little bit of music to it and some text to kind of make you see some other things that's happening in the footage. But check this out. I want your take on this too, Adam. Let's look at this clip here.
Is it some nice dance music? Some Red Ice techno?
This is a little more ominous.
And this just could be some young girls at a pool. You know, I saw this too.
Saw this? Yeah.
Yeah.
But look at let's watch it here. I point out some things with the text and stuff here.
This is what was going on inside of the Dome of the Rock on Epstein's Island, maybe.
Is that what it is? You know?
I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. They have really interesting outfits, the girls. It's almost like someone said, like, Athenian or, like, Grecian-looking. Like, it's white marble. It's obviously very expensive. Very, very expensive. It's not cheap stuff. It's black and white marble. There's hexagonal shapes all over the floor. There's a hexagonal shape which looks like a spider web up on the altar. And that's not a hot tub, by the way, because that's stone that they're walking on. So that's not a hot tub. It has skimmers beneath it, which implies that it should be able to take care of fluids if it's poured onto the altar. The door does not have any handles on the inside of it, implying that this is a sealed room where you can actually close people or kids into. And in this scene, I think we're seeing kids actually cleaning the altar with water that they have a little spout over on the side there. But check out the pillars. I mean, that's expensive, heavy marble, right?
And we're sure that this came from Cappy?
No, we're not. I'm not. Maybe someone is, but I'm not sure that that it did. Is it from a movie that someone shot? I mean, I don't know. That hasn't been revealed yet, as far as I know. Someone claimed that they had found where it was from, and they had said there was a luxury hotel in Turkey. And although there were similar features in the architecture, it was a hot tub in the center. It was not a stone. A stone base that you could walk upon in that place, and the patterns on the floor were not the same as well. So anyway, I just wanted to play that, and people can make of it what they want. I just think it is really creepy. I get the creeps when I'm looking at it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what to think. It's crazy. Cappy was also talking about. In one of his last videos, he was talking about Black Cube and Jacob Wall and Jack Posobiec, calling them all out as Zionist shills. And he kept saying Black Cube over and over again. And Anthony Bourdain also was tweeting about Black Cube, you know, the Israeli, like, mercenary secret service type group. and then look what happened to him.
Yeah. Again, I know that there's speculation, and I know that there's some kind of, you know, obviously I'm not a big kind of fan of, like, Q and, you know, stuff like that. I think it's, you know, some of it is kind of a, I don't know. It's easy to just kind of go over the rails with this kind of stuff, and everything is connected and tied. And although I'm plenty in my days have been wallowing in conspiracies and stuff like that, I try to take a kind of a more just, you know, objective view on it, and okay, what is it? Is it evidence? Can we use it? What does it mean? Kind of thing. Doesn't mean we shouldn't look at it and judge, you know, for ourselves and try to, you know, piece it together and come up with something here. But I don't know. There's something clearly with stories like this coming out. There's something weird going on with these elites and these elite circles and how they're using each other, the financial connections, the religious connections, the girls or the boys for that matter that they end up using. So I don't know. It's too many questions and too few answers. But hopefully that's something that we're going to be cleared up here as more information comes out in whatever happens next. Thursday is actually the next court appointment for Epstein. And he, of course, he denied these charges. He pleaded non guilty to them. Obviously, I mean, he didn't get away last time. He was guilty. It was just that the punishment was, like, ridiculous, you know? So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what's going to come out of it.
Yeah, and that was True News did an interview with the author of a book about Robert Maxwell called Israel Super Spy.
So this one
that's
here.
Who,
yeah.
And his daughter, they say, was Epstein's madam. And it's weird that Roger Stone is also works for NXIVM and the Bronfmans and NXIVM, and he was friends with a madam too in D.C.
Oh, really? And she died, right? She was killed later.
I think she's no. That's a different madam.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Another madam that's still alive. That she was interviewed by Mueller when he was looking into, and the Zohar too. The Lexner or Wexner has his own Zohar up on his website. And
right.
Roger Stone posted on his Instagram a photo of his Zohar.
Hmm. That's bizarre. That's weird. I'm trying to find that there. There's just a lot of links here, too many links. But this one, here it is, right? The Wexner Foundation Online Zohar Course. There it is. Interesting.
There it is.
Interesting. All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, these people are religiously dedicated, and they know about this kind of stuff. And of course, they wield a lot of influence and a lot of power too. I have a lot of money.
But to be safe, to protect you from a lawsuit, Lexner I'm sorry, Les Wexner says that he cut all ties with Epstein 10 years ago when this stuff started to come out.
Yeah, no, that's true. Again, everything that we're talking about is allegedly and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're speculating here and trying to piece this together with the available evidence that's there. But again, sure, it doesn't make you guilty if you've had connections with something in the past. But I think, who was pointing that out and said that there's like, it doesn't look good. Listen to this line here from, it was actually MSNBC that talked with Julia, I might say Roberts now, but the author of most of the articles that came out of the Miami Herald, the main reporter, I forget her last name.
Brown, I think.
Brown, that's right. Julia Brown. Thank you. That's right. Brown, yeah. Listen to this here.
They have never explained why they kept this deal secret. If it was such a good deal, like they say, this was fair, this was, you know, the best we could do given that these were...
This is in reference to the previous case, the previous guilty sentence for Epstein.
If it was such a good deal, then why did they seal it? Why did they fight these victims for almost a year to make sure that nobody found out about it if it was such a good deal?
I mean, it looks like a massive cover-up, obviously, and those are the questions we hope get answered as well. I wonder what else, Julie, happens on that island. Like, what other activities are there? These guys who are going there, I mean, you can't implicate them because they were on a plane, but gosh, it sure doesn't look good.
No, and, you know, Virginia Roberts, one of the victims who's been the most vocal, she has described, really, that there was a lot of sexual activities. There was really horrific things that happened on that island, according to her. And she's been, quite frankly, that's another issue with these victims. She has been really beat up. Mr. Dershowitz is among those who beats her up on a regular basis. So when you're beat up like that, you stop. I mean, she hasn't named any names because she's afraid.
Interesting, yeah? Yeah, so she's talking about Dershowitz directly. So, I mean, I agree with what the host there said. She's talking about, yeah, it sure doesn't look good, but you can't just imply them just because they did go on a plane ride and stuff like that. So that's obviously part of this, too. But
I'm sure we can take other. Bill Clinton's word for it. I'm sure he wasn't doing anything with any women there.
No, I'm not saying we should either, but, again, for reasons of protection, I guess. Yeah, you got to say allegedly and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, it's interesting she mentioned Dershowitz beating up on Virginia. Virginia Roberts, because in the 10-page document I read today about the case, it said that their Epstein was doing witness tampering and harassment and obstruction, and people are speculating that's what Cernovich was doing. He was trying to get all of the files unsealed, which would the only things that were sealed were the Jane Doe's actual name. So people were speculating that Cernovich filed the same motion that Dershowitz wanted to get these names unsealed so that they could know who these accusers are, these Jane Does, and harass them. That's the theory that I've heard.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very interesting angle. Let me put it that way. Wow. I didn't
right,
think
of but
that.
But Cernovich is taking credit saying, you know, he's the reason that he's arrested and, you know, he's a hero because of this and the media is ignoring him and stuff. So, you know, I don't know. Cernovich is obviously a Zionist, totally tied in with Zionists and Dershowitz. So I don't really know what's going on. I think we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, of course it could be. I mean, if they knew that this was coming, there could be layers and layers of kind of diversions and sidetracking and you know, agendas to try to basically circumvent or prevent, you know, the right information to come out. And the people will stare themselves blind at it. But, you know, again, it is kind of interesting, too, if you think about, you know, this case, because think of how that there at this stage it's been a massive news story. So many people have been talking about it. And all that's good. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. While something like Rotherham, for example, could be so vehemently covered up by the media, where I know it's the UK and versus the US and the media environment is different. But in some cases, we know that they cover up these cases and they just put a clamp on and say, media, you can't report on this. That will influence the jury and, the, you know, witnesses and all that kind of stuff. But in this case, they are very much reporting on this. So maybe there's some other ulterior motive here. They're trying to get to someone or, you know, maybe it is a way for them to try to get to Trump and make him fall or something. So we'll have to see.
A lot of 3D chess going on.
5D, 6D.
I just had a thought. Ghislaine Maxwell, if she wasn't his Mossad handler running a honeypot sex ring to blackmail people. Why else would she go there and exploit all those young girls? What does she get out of it?
That's what I said before. Exactly. What is the incentive for her to even do this or continue this work if her father, Robert Maxwell, had done this previously or something like that, right? They're just, I don't know. I mean, the people theorize that some of these people are they're bred into it themselves to a certain extent, and they have a job to fulfill, and they are just there and mechanically are kind of operating and working. Who knows? But maybe we're thinking about this differently. We're thinking about a personal incentive or a drive or even money or something like that, but that might not actually be part of it at all. We don't know. You know?
Maybe she just enjoyed the parties. She liked the parties.
Well, exactly. Who knows, right? But again, if she's been traumatized, if she was roped in as a young girl in this kind of stuff, you know, a lot of the people, and Virginia Roberts explained that too. She said, you just shut down. You just obey. That's what she said. She's been so traumatized by these kinds of things that she didn't even know how to, like, say no anymore. She just did what they wanted, right? So there might be a lot of individuals. And I don't even know, could she be legally held accountable too? Because she roped in other young women in that. Right.
Oh, absolutely. They're saying that she could be the next one to be indicted, and that they were saying that there was another name on the indictment or something like that, and she could be next. But of course, she denies all involvement too.
Yeah. Hey, tell us about some of these. I remember covering this. This was actually many months ago now, I believe. Not too far away.
But this story has been
feels
going
like it's
on
months ago. Anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, just some other related sex rings. One, there was the Robert Kraft, who is the owner of the Patriots, Trump's close friend and a big time Zionist. You know, he got busted with his massage parlor prostitution thing also. But then the one you just had up on the screen, and then I mentioned NXIVM as well. But this is another sex ring. Israeli who headed Colombia child prostitution ring arrested in Portugal. There was another one in Belarus where several Israelis were running another ring like that as well.
Interesting.
And then this story, this is very interesting. The GOP and Israelis running honey traps. This is written by Wayne Madsen on InfoWars talking about Roger Stone being involved with a Mossad honeypot operation in New York. This guy was arrested. He ran the Emperor's VIP Club. He was an Israeli named Mark Brenner. I can't read it now.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Mark Brenner. Michael Brenner.
But he had several Israeli passports. He had $600,000 in cash. He used to work for the Israeli tax authority, so the Israeli government. And he was arrested. So this guy goes to prison for this I think it was for this scandal. Something involved this sex ring. He goes to prison and then he gets out. And I think if you can see the next article, he says that he was reading the Rebbe.
It's the New York Times. Was it this one? Rebbe's writings.
And then he gets out of prison and he's starting the One World Initiative, which is all about, you know, the Twin Towers were destroyed and they had the One World Trade Center. It's the whole idea of having a one world government, one world religion, one world currency. It's the utopia, the Zionist endgame that they're trying to create. But,
and this is what I mentioned before, too, that I want people to get the proper perspective on this, that these are the individuals and the people that are moralizing over us, right? Mm-hmm. This is like, that's the big giveaway. Look at Ghislaine Maxwell. Was that?
She's saving the ocean.
The Terra Mar Project. These are philanthropists. They're part of they're interested in the environment and global warming and making sure that no bad words can be said online. And look at these racists here who are saying that immigration is a bad thing. Let's shut them down, kick them off banks and make them homeless and make them starve on the street. That's what I'm talking about. These are part of the establishment that are keeping the current order and system in place. And they're moralizing over working class white people who are opposed to being, having open borders and making sure that wages are driven down and that they're losing influence in their own countries and pointing the fingers and saying, these are the bad people while they're doing this kind of shit. Do you see what I'm saying?
They're good at playing the victim. The victimhood status is a powerful position to be. And anybody that goes around pretending like they're the moral ones that tells everybody else what's right and wrong, those are the ones you really need to watch out for.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's a very clever trick because it works. If you point the finger first, look at this person. Look at this group. Look at these individuals, how bad they are and the bad things that they do. it does take attention away from you and what you might be doing. And as you know, what is the saying goes, like the ones who screams the most, right, is the one you should actually look at and examine, right? Because they're like, they are probably covering something up, you know?
That's right.
So there are a couple of others here too. Let's just quickly go through this. From the Times of Israel. I don't know if you talked about some of these already.
I mentioned this one, yeah. So Epstein may try to flee to Israel if this headline has any truth to it, that pedophiles are using Israel as a haven to run to.
Interesting. And here's the slave. Thousands of slaves in Israel. Global study finds. This is from 2013. Global Slavery Index finds Jewish state doing relatively well. But problem persists, you know. So again, it's a lot of Eastern European women that actually are taken as sex slaves to Israel, and very little information about this is coming out, and people are covering this up vehemently. All right, so that's, I think, some of the most, we kind of skipped a little bit here, a little bit there, and, you know, back and forth, but it's okay. We just want to kind of wade through some of the available material, give guys out there a little bit of an idea of the scope of this case, the different connections, the different individuals, what they're a part of, and kind of the bigger picture as well. Obviously, there's reason to return to this and talk more about this, depending on what comes out, maybe as early as Thursday, potentially. What do you hope, Adam, is in kind of as we're beginning to wrap up here, we could get out of this? Could this be a gift from the gods that could actually begin to shake and rattle loose some stuff in the establishment and the elite circles?
I'm not too optimistic that we're going to see anything really bombshell come out of this, but I would love to see, you know, him name some more high profile people, or for the Mossad connections with Ghislaine Maxwell to come forth some more. Something like that would be great. Maybe even Dershowitz goes to prison. I want to find out for sure what angle Cernovich is involved with all this, because it's really, I can't quite figure it out exactly what he's trying to do here, but I want to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, we'll have to monitor that, I guess, and keep an eye on it. I think we did. I don't know if you mentioned this, but Netanyahu trades barbs with Barack over Epstein's sex trafficking scandal. This is July 7th. This is not too long ago here.
Yeah, well, we mentioned that she said that she slept with a prime minister, and that Ehud Barak was in the book. Same with Shimon Peres as well.
Yeah. All right.
Two former prime ministers of Israel.
Well, that's big, and it goes into that that circle, if you will, which takes it also a kind of a different turn. It's not just America bound, or even US and UK bound. It's goes into the Middle East and Israel and stuff like that. But again, not a big surprise considering the individuals involved and stuff like that. But anything else, Adam, you want to talk about here at the end? Obviously, as usual, I want to plug your YouTube channel and everything else. But anything we missed out that's important to talk about here before we let people go?
No, I think we hit all the notes that we got down. A little out of order, but we hit it all. Yeah, No More News, the YouTube channel, and nomorenews.org is the website.
That's right. Absolutely. Latest stuff here to check out. Great stuff. Been enjoying a lot of your live streams and the videos that you do, of course. Are you still safe on YouTube? No strikes? No other things?
Yeah, no strikes. You know, just I anything that's hardcore and you know, borderline content, I'll just put on BitChute now and direct people that way.
Did you set up a DLive, by the way? I think I clicked in on this link the other day, and I don't think it worked, or is it?
Yeah, I got a DLive.
You got a DLive. I gotta check that out. It was a reference link, I think, and I couldn't pull it out.
I think that's the referral link.
The referral link.
Not signed up.
Reference. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm not logged in on this computer, and maybe that's why. All right, but that's good. Have you streamed anything there yet? DLive?
Yeah, I'm using Restream now, so I do both YouTube and DLive at the same time.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. All right, nomorenews.org, and of course, again, a YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe. You passed 100,000 recently. Has growth been slow for you as well?
So slow. Oh, my God. Slower than ever. And yes. Everything is so down. They're doing everything they can to decimate our channel.
Yes, they certainly are. It's funny. I literally, you know, I've seen the wave, like, just boom, or like the graph, you know, like literally just rock bottom, and then it creeps along. And then, like, we've had a couple of videos that were good, and it's literally like a spike, and then it's just straight down again, both in subscribers and viewers. We used to have, like, anywhere between 1.5 and 2.5, almost 3 million views a month for a little bit there. And they managed to get that down to, I think now, and that's like every 28-day cycle, I think they monitor that. And it wavered between that, depending on how many popular videos we had and stuff like that. But now it's like somewhere around, can't even, like, hard to break 800,000. But that means more than half they've mm-hmm. cut off, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my views have been cut in half as well.
Absolutely despicable. Yeah. That's what we're up against. But anyway,
do you know why? Like, Kufi had an event today, Christians United for Israel. They claim that they've got 6 million members. You know, John Hagee's huge raising money for Israel. They had 100 people watching their live stream today with all of these, you know, world leaders and stuff talking about Israel. 100 people watching the live stream. No wonder they have to censor us.
Interesting. Yeah, they're not winning online in a way, right? Every all the cool kids were online. We were starting this trend. We're bypassing the big mainstream media. We were finding a niche online, and now since we're winning that and dominating that, but at the same time, it's this, right? Most of the, like, let's say you know, the counter channel, the channels that are like countering us kind of stuff, their points of view are basically represented in the mainstream. So they don't need a small alternative YouTube channel to get their message out. They already have the mainstream channels, essentially, to get that message out. And so that's why they can't let us dominate the internet. That's a huge problem for them, and that's why they have to put their foot down.
They already control like 99.9% of all of the media outlets, but they freak out when Red Ice gets a $100 super chat and they lose their minds. They can't handle even a little bit of a message getting out.
No, exactly. They're wheeling and dealing in literally like hundreds of millions for these media, you know, upstarters like Vice News, and, you know, like, here you go, 250 million and, you know, whatever. They just throw hundreds of millions around. And like, we're, as you said, we get like $100 super chats, and that's like news. You know?
Yeah,
it's pathetic. It's sad, but that's the state that it's in. I think closing thoughts, though, that is obviously not a winning strategy. It never has been, and it never works. I'm surprised that they're so bold and so blatant in the open about it, because most people are starting to get really pissed off about that. And it's not like enough information has gotten out, enough information, the cat's out of the bag, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So now people, they know, and they know that it's happening, and so I don't think they're going to stop what's coming. They might be able to stop a few of us here and there, but that's just going to cause more people to start up their own channels and continue spreading the word. So you can't stop truth. You can't stop what's meant to get out there. That's what I think.
That's probably why we're still here and just heavily throttled instead of deleted altogether.
Yeah, that would be a bigger red flag for them, potentially. Mm-hmm. All right, Adam, thank you for joining us. We went over time a little bit here, but always a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for your work, man. I really appreciate it. Keep it up. And guys, head on over and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're not subscribed. And check out the website, support Adam. He has T-shirts. He has a Patreon. And people can donate to as well on PayPal still, I believe, right?
Still on PayPal, yeah.
Donate. Lucky you. All right, thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Henry.
That's Adam Green, No More News. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with much more here soon. We have new videos, shorter videos coming up here soon. A couple of new ones with Lana, and also a couple of other ones exclusive for RedIceMembers.com as well. Definitely make sure that you do have a membership. It's well worth it. You get access to Weekend Warrior. And, of course, all the shows that we've done back to 2006, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of both radio and video for you there to enjoy. A lot more exclusive material coming for members, as well as YouTube begins to censor. But make sure that you're subscribed to BitChute and our DLive channel and all these other social media accounts that we have. Thank you for watching, guys. We'll be back with much more soon. Until then, stay strong, stay brave, and take good care of yourself. See you later.